today's Holy Gospel, according to Mark, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt it in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha, come," which means, "Little girl, wake up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Today's sermon was prepared by Reverend Bob Miller and entitled, "Never Die." If you're tearing through a pew Bible during the Old Testament reading, looking for a book of the wisdom of Solomon, you would not have found it. This is one of the few occasions where the common lectionary offers a reading from the Apothecaria, that is a collection of ancient literature that was considered to have strong spiritual content but did not quite make it into the canon of the Bible. Martin Luther included it in his Bible, so the Lutherans do not have it in their pew Bibles. Solomon makes several astonishing statements. Our reading began, "God did not make death and takes no delight in the death of the living, for he created all things so that they might exist." Then, near the end of this reading, "For righteousness is immortal, for God created us for incorruption and made us in the image of his own eternity." Those two statements accompany the stories in our gospel reading of Jesus bringing restoring life to Jairus' daughter and healing a faithful woman compel me to contemplate what my faith teaches me about dying. Bob remembers preaching a sermon once about the life of a rock. We know about the cycle of water. It can be liquid, solid, or gas, but it can never cease to exist. It was in the beginning, as the wind of creation blew over the face of the deep. Life forms first emerge from water, and water will continue to be long after human life is gone from the earth. But rock also exists in eternal cycles. Formed from deep in the core of the earth, it boils to the surface as molten lava and forms igneous rock. Eventually it erodes and is ground into sand. Then other layers may pile on top and compress it into sandstone, or it mixes with other rock particles and forms a conglomerate. Rock, which is simply another name for a large stone, experiences change after change and can travel literally around the world, but it could not cease to exist. Plants decay into soil, which nourishes new plant life. All things exist eternally, so why should we think for a moment that life is the one exception? Dr. Roy Burkhart, the minister of the Church of Bob's Youth, wrote the benediction that he has always used throughout his career, never referred to death. He always called it a graduation. Solomon says that death entered the world because of the devil's envy. That's interesting. Satan is jealous of life, so it causes mankind to think that the end of life is something horrible called death, something to be feared, avoided, and prolonged at all costs. We would prefer to postpone the graduation. Do you remember when the Catholic Church had their anti-abortion sign that read, "Life from conception to natural death"? He's always chuckled when he saw that, thinking none of them actually believed that. If they did, they would not have pacemakers or chemotherapy or even allow CPR. We do almost anything to prevent natural death. How often do you hear people in nursing homes asking, "Reverend Miller, why won't the Lord take me?" Protocol forbids the honest answer, because those who love you won't allow it. Our words speak almost lovingly about heaven as a better place, a place of eternal rest, glorious beauty, happiness, joy, and peace. Shouldn't we all be clamoring to get there? Well, I can wait for the change, knowing it will come in its time. In the meantime, I value life and hope to continue finding something new, exciting, and wonderful each and every day. I believe I'm called to this life to experience it to its fullest and to find the divine touch of the Creator in all people and all things. I'm here to learn that everything is God-filled and sacred and holy. I believe that I or anyone who fully embraces that concept will learn that heaven is right here, right now. I believe that once we learn that, the natural change of our graduation will come without fear. It will be embraced just as another adventure on the soul's eternity in the presence of God. Until we open our spirit enough to see heaven on earth, we can only imagine some greater earth in heaven. I believe when Jesus said, "I am in this world, but not of it," he did not intend to separate himself from the rest of humanity. He did not see himself as anything greater than any other individual. He spoke of his awareness that none of us are of this world, this illusion of life separate from divinity. When we believe the illusion, we withdraw ourselves from the sacred reality that we are and become a character in the illusion. That separation from God was described in the Garden of Eden, and therefore referred to as original sin. Adam and Eve's penalty for wanting knowledge beyond the fact that they lived in the kingdom of God was that they would die, and the devil made them do it, just as wise old Solomon said. A lot of people died in Jesus' time, and he didn't prevent it, but sometimes he did intervene. Jairus was the leader of the temple. Don't forget that Jesus often ran into conflict with the leaders of the temple. Jairus, like Nicodemus, seems to have believed that Jesus had the healing touch of a man of God. Jesus went to his daughter and simply told her to get up. For those who believed in death, she was dead. But for Jesus, who knew change as a graduation, saw that a young 12-year-old girl hadn't yet learned all her lessons from life and wasn't ready for that graduation. Or maybe he called her back as a reward for Jairus' belief. When Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, he did so reluctantly. Remember that when he was told that his friend had died, he wept and then delayed going for 3 days. Perhaps in that instance, he wept because he preferred to allow Lazarus his natural graduation, but his love for Mary and Martha, and because of their devotion to him, he felt compelled to bring him back. In this story, he closes out the crowd and orders few witnesses not to tell anyone. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus restores the son of the widow of Nain right off of his funeral bier. A large crowd witnessed this event, and everyone celebrated except for the funeral director. There is one other instance of the dead being raised in the Gospels. It comes at the end when Jesus transitions from the cross to the grave and back to life. It was as though he wanted to show people that when they think death isn't real, it could not hold him. So he resurrected and made a few special appearances to a few special people just to finish up his business. He never again appeared to the multitudes. It was up to his followers to present the concept of divinity within the human spirit to the masses. Jesus did not stick around very long. Like a graduate from any endeavor, he was ready to move on to the next chapter in his life. Here ends the sermon.